ॐ सहना भवतु, सहना भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरम्। ॐ पार्थ
प्रतिबोधितां
भगवता
भगवता
नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणम् मध्ये महा अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः वन्ति देव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदब्रह्मोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणा वाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सो इन द फिफ्थ चैप्टर लास्ट वीक वी हैड स्टडीड अबाउट द वाइस पर्सन ब्रह्मण्याधाय कर्माणि संगम त्यक्त्वा करोति यः। वन हु डेडिकेट्स हिज एक्शंस टू द लॉर्ड वर्क्स विदाउट अटैचमेंट, ही डज नॉट गेट कंटेमिनेटेड लाइक अ लोटस लीफ इन वॉटर। एंड हाउ शुड वी वर्क? सो ऑल एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द बॉडी माइंड इंटेलेक्ट शुड बी डन विदाउट अटैचमेंट फॉर द प्योरिफिकेशन of the mind, Atma Shuddhaye. And one who works like that with his mind and intellect coordinated and always attention on the Lord gets free from bondage. And one who is ayukta, one whose mind is wandering, never attached to the Lord, never on the intellect, nibbadhyate, he gets bound. Now today's shlokas are a little bit difficult to explain and to understand. I'll try my best, but we'll need some attention because they tell us, first of all, how to work without any attachment in the world, how a wise person works, and then how does God work? So that is even hard for us to understand what God does. So Bhagwan Sri Krishna has told us what he does. So we'll try to understand that. So mantra, shloka number 13. 13, chapter 5, number 13. Sarva karmani manasa.
Sarva karmani manasa.
Sanyasyaste sukham vashi.
Sanyasyaste sukham vashi.
तव द्वारे पुरे देहि,
तव द्वारे पुरे देहि,
नैव कुर्वन्न कारयन् सर्वकर्माणि मनसा संन्यस्यास्ते सुखं वशी, नवद्वारे पुरे देहि, नैव कुर्वन्न कारयन्। सो वशी इन द एंड लास्ट वर्ड ऑफ द फर्स्ट लाइन इज वशी, द सेल्फ कंट्रोल्ड इंडिविजुअल, द वाइज पर्सन। सर्व कर्माणि मनसा संयस्य, सर्व कर्माणि ऑल एक्शंस, मनसा संयस्य हैविंग गिवन अप बाय द माइंड, फ्रॉम द माइंड, आस्ते सुखम वशी। सो दिस वाइज पर्सन हु इज सेल्फ कंट्रोल स्टेज हैपीली, वेयर डज ही स्टे? नवद्वारे पुरे देहि, नवद्वारे इन दिस पुरे, इन दिस सिटी ऑफ नाइन गेट्स। Dehi means the indweller in this body, stays in this city of nine gates. Naiva kurvan na karayan, not neither doing anything nor causing anything to be done. So a person will ask, you mean to say a wise person is lazy? He just sits there in this body, neither doing anything nor causing anything to be done? So then what does he accomplish? So we'll see what Bhagavan means by this. So first of all is sannyasya. What is sannyas? We have one idea of sannyas, that somebody who is wants to spend full time in the spiritual journey, gives up this world, gives up the family and puts on orange clothes, goes to the forest or to a guru ashram and studies, meditates. But here, for people like us, for you and me, sannyas is not the physical giving up of this body and going somewhere, or physical giving up of this world and house and going somewhere, but it is the mental renunciation of doership. Mentally, I have to detach from the world, not physically. What do we mean by mental detachment? Say I have decided that I am not going to, you know, for an alcoholic, say he decides I'm not going to drink. And so he gets rid of all the bottles from his house and he's physically he has detached. But then he goes to a friend's house and the friends are drinking. Then mentally he says, you know, it used to be so much fun to drink. Maybe one drink won't hurt. So mentally he gets attached. Or I have decided I'm not going to go shopping. I have too many clothes in my house. My closet is overfull. I need to go to give it to Goodwill, but I don't do that. And then suddenly I see in the newspaper 40% sale in my favorite shopping mall, favorite store, then immediately my mind gets tempted. So Bhagavan says, karmendriyani samyamya aste manasasmaran. So such a person, mithyachara sa uchyate. So a person who physically gives up actions, but mentally says, I don't do it. But then mentally he starts brooding on the objects. Physically he has given up, but mentally he is brooding and he's showing to the world, I have no interest, but mentally he is not able to detach. Such a person is said to be mithyachara, said to be a hypocrite. Because giving up physically is good, but something that's not good for me, even my mind should not get tempted. And a person who can do that stays happily in this city of nine gates. That's what Bhagavan says. So what is this city of nine gates that we live in? He says there are nine openings in the body, two nostrils, two eyes, two ears, and a mouth. That's seven, and then two below, the excretion and the reproductive organs. So nine gates is where we live in this city, which is this body of nine gates. Some authorities say there are 11 gates. There is the belly button, where the child gets fed through the mother's womb. And then that gets closed at the time of birth because the doctor cuts the umbilical cord. And then the 11th is the gate at the top of the head, which is called the thousand-petaled Sahasra Chakra. Actually, before the bones are fused, the jiva enters into the child through this, and then only yogis at the time of death leave from this. Otherwise, this remains closed. You and I, when we leave this body, we may leave through the nose or eyes or ears or whatever, but that is for yogi. So there are 11 gates. Now, why do we call it a city? Because city has all the things. It has janitors, it has cleaning, it has defense, it has transportation. And in our body, we have all that. We have cleaning, you know, constant cleaning going on. We have defense. Our skin protects us so infections don't come in. Transportation, the arteries and veins, they are all So all the activities that go on in a city go on in this body. And one who occupies is called the Dehi. So Dehi has two meanings. One is the Jiva, the mind and intellect package with the vasanas that lives in this body. And Dehi also is used for Atma or consciousness. So it depends which context you want to use it, as the Jiva, the transmigratory soul, or as the Atma, the consciousness. So this Dehi, this Jiva, transmigrating soul, runs this body like an administrator or like a king, controls what is happening in this body. But suppose he finds like an administrator in a city. City is not good, nobody cares, you know, there's no cleaning, the city is rotting, breaking down, no transport. And everything is broken, not functioning. He says, let me leave, go to another city and take up a job somewhere else. So when our body becomes like that, that, you know, we are not able to clean, we are bedridden, not able to move, not able to eat properly, then this Dehi, this Jiva says, bahut ho gaya, I'm done with this body. Let me go find a new body. And then this Jiva goes and finds a newborn baby where his vasanas, his karmas can continue. So the wise person associates with the Atma. You and I, the ignorant people, we ignore it, associate with the Jiva. I am this Jiva, I am this transmigratory soul, and I live in this body. But as Atma, I am not only living in this body. As Atma, I am everywhere. Atma is all pervading, and the body is in me. That is the understanding of the wise person. The jnani thinks, body is in me. You and I, we think, I am in the body. Today in our meditation also, we were talking about that. That this whole world is in me. Because if I am Atma, if I am consciousness, if that is my true nature, then I am all pervading. And I am everywhere, and this whole world is in me. Me means me, the Atma, the consciousness, not me, the BMI. And then such a person says, I do nothing. You know, last couple of weeks back also we had said, naiva kinchit karo miti yukto manyeta tatpavit pasyan srinvan sprishan jigran. So a wise person says, I don't do anything. I am the Atma, the consciousness. In my presence, this body, mind, intellect is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, moving. All the activities are going on. Indriyani indriyartheshu vartanta iti dharayan. So he knows that my sense organs are working with the sense objects. My body is interacting with the world. My mind and intellect are. But I am the akarta. I am the non-doer. Na kurvan na karyan, neither do I do anything, nor do I cause anybody else to do anything. So that's what even Bhagwan, again, in the next Worse, he will say, even I am non-doer. I don't do anything. I don't cause anything to be done. But we'll come to that in the next shloka. So this person says, I am not the cause of anything. I don't do anything and I am not the cause. Talking about cause, the doctor was very angry with his nurse. He says, how many times have I told you when a patient dies and when you fill out the death certificate, in the cause of death, put disease. Don't put my name there. So many times I have told. So here also, this person is not the cause of anything, does not cause anything to be done, because the Atma consciousness just illumines, and in the presence of consciousness, all activities go on. It's like nuclear energy. You know, nuclear energy says, I don't do anything, and neither do I cause anything to be done. But once you have discovered nuclear energy, now you can use nuclear energy to cure cancer, you know, or to generate electricity for the whole city, or you can use nuclear energy to destroy a whole city, which they did in Hiroshima, Nagasaki in the Second World War. So nuclear energy says, I don't do anything. I am a non-doer. I am just energy. Now, how we use the ability of the nuclear energy determines the quality of our karmas. As we had studied last week, there are four kinds of karmas: nitya, daily; nainitya, special duties; kamya, are the desire prompted; and fourth is nishiddha, forbidden. So the third and fourth should not be done. Selfish activities or activities that are forbidden should not be done. And the first two, yeah, my daily activities and special activities, what I am required to do, I do. But without doership, without I, me, and my. And so a wise person, how does he or she live? Whatever destiny, whatever prarabdha this person has, so whatever job, wherever Bhagwan has placed this person, he or she will do their duty without complaint, without any sense of doership, as an instrument of Lord. And whatever time the person has left, that person's life becomes a life of service, of dedication to the higher, and working without this feeling that I am doing. Naiva kinchit karomi. He said, I don't do anything. I am the Atma. I am the consciousness. In my presence, this body, mind, and intellect is functioning. So he takes no credit for any success. It is said it is all Bhagwan's. And if there's a failure, then, of course, this person says, I need to do better, I need to improve. Does not mean that there's failure, he says, I don't care. No, that person is actually works better than you and I, because they don't have this ego, I and me and my. When you and I work, we have this sense of doership, and then that creates ego. But this person has no ego, no doership, and works directly as an instrument. And that's why somebody like Swami Chinmayananda, he used to sleep only 2 or 3 hours at night and would function throughout the day, traveling from city to city, country to country. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji, how in his short life, how much he accomplished, how much throughout this country that he traveled and removed the wrong ideas and established the Vedic knowledge and established mathas, and the whole country was transformed in those days when they had no transportation. He was walking on foot, and how he was able to accomplish, because Bhagwan works through them. So this shloka tells us that what should I identify with? What should I constantly work towards? One is I can work as this ego, where I say, I'm doing everything for me, myself, and I, for my family, what will I get? Or I should work as I am the non-doer Atma and stay with that understanding and do your best. It does not mean that you don't work, because again, the principles of कर्म अनुकर्मण्यवाधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्म फल हेतुर्भुः मा ते संगोस्त्व कर्मणि. सो डू ऑल योर ड्यूटीज बट डू नॉट वरी अबाउट द रिजल्ट. व्हाट एम आई गोइंग टू गेट? लेट नॉट दैट बी योर मोटिव. दैट हाउ विल आई बेनिफिट फ्रॉम इट, बट हाउ विल सोसाइटी बेनिफिट फ्रॉम माई एक्शंस? एंड मे यू नॉट बी अटैच टू इन एक्शन. So this shloka tells us very clearly whom we should identify with, whether the ego, the perceiver, feeler, thinker, or the atma, the consciousness. And in meditation, we practice that, you know, and then slowly that becomes our permanent understanding that I am this atma, I am this consciousness. We'll go to mantra shloka number 14 and 15, which talks about what God does, which is even more difficult for us to understand, but Bhagwan Shri Krishna and Puja Gurudev have explained it very well. So 14, number 14, na kartritvam na karmani.
Na karmani.
Lokasya srijati prabhuhu.
Lokasya srijati prabhuhu.
Na karma phala samyogam.
Na karma phala samyogam.
Svabhavastu pravartate.
Svabhavastu pravartate.
Together, na kartritvam na karmani. Lokasya srijati prabhuhu. Na karma phala samyogam. Svabhavastu pravartate. So the last word of the first line, Prabhu. Prabhu means God. So Prabhu means Prabhavati iti Prabhu, one that affects everything, that does everything, whatever is happening is because of that, that is called Prabhu. So Bhagwan Shri Krishna, even though he is God himself, but when he is in a human body, he refers to Prabhu as God, as somebody else, because he's functioning as a human. So he says, na kartritvam, na neither doership, na karmani. So lokasya, of the person, srijati prabhu. What does prabhu do? Neither doership nor actions. So he says he doesn't do any actions and there is no doership of anybody, of any actions. He says, yes, Srijati Prabhu. And not only that, na karma phala samyogam, and not even giving the fruit of actions. He does. He says, wait a minute, wait a minute. You say you don't do anything, you don't cause anything to be done, and you don't even give us the results of actions? He says, yes, I don't do any of those three. So this is very confusing. How can he, you not do all that? And how does this world come about? He says, Swabhava tu pravartate. It is nature that is doing. I don't do anything. I don't create. I don't do anything. I don't even give you the result of your actions, karma phala. So let us see how this mantra shloka can be explained. So Prabhu, we said, was God. Bhagwan also uses the word Ishwara in other shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita. Ishwara sarva bhutana riddeshe junatishthati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. So he says Ishwara, O Arjuna, is in the heart of all beings. Riddeshe junatishthati, and like a motor causes, like a car or a machine to move. So inside Bhagwan is that motor that makes everything move, all the beings move. So you say, well, you said Ishwara causes all this to move. And then now you are saying Prabhu doesn't do anything. God, one place you are saying God does, one place you are saying God doesn't do. So Bhagwan says it depends. You have to look at the context. Like, who gives us karma phala? Karma phala. Who gives karma phala? Who is the one that is the giver of fruit? Because in the 16th chapter, Bhagwan even says that those who are evil and wicked, I throw them in hell. So there you are saying you throw them in hell and do all that. And here you are saying you don't do anything. So Ishvara is the creator, sustainer, and destroyer. That's Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. So Ishvara is and works through what? Through Prakriti. Through Prakriti, which is the creative power of the Lord, which is also called Maya, creates this universe, and the universe is functioning perfectly. Universe is functioning great. There is no, in the laws of the universe, law of gravitation, magnetism, electricity, science, physics, chemistry, everything, law is perfect. That's why scientists are able to predict 3 years from now, there will be a complete solar eclipse, and it will happen at this date and this time. How are they able to do that? And which part of the world will see the eclipse, which not? And they can predict that 2 years, 3 years, 1 year ahead, which means that they know where the sun is going to be, where the moon is going to be, Earth. Everything is exact. It is completely planned. It is not by chance that, no, everything that is happening, the planets are rotating, the seasons are coming, rain is falling, everything is happening perfectly. So that is called Prakriti or Maya. That is the creative power of the Lord. So the total consciousness, Om or Brahman, when it functions through Prakriti, takes up the role of Ishvara. Just as if I go to the office, I take up the role of an officer or a manager. If I go to the pool, I am a swimmer. If I go to the tennis, I am a tennis player. So I play different roles. So same way, Bhagwan, the Supreme Consciousness, plays different roles. Brahmaji, the creator, Vishnu Bhagwan, who sustains, and Lord Shiva, who takes, you know, causes all the changes to happen. So all this is happening, and that same Brahman takes up the role, and that's the one that does the karma phala. They hear they in our Puranas, they have this story of Chitragupta, who is this, Gupta means hidden, not seen. Chitra means pictures. So Chitragupta is this Devta who's sitting somewhere in heaven, and he's taking pictures, you know, of everything we are doing, recording, just as when nowadays they have cameras everywhere. You go through a red light, it takes your picture and then sends you a ticket in the mail. Or outside our house, we have these ring cameras where all the, you know, activities are being recorded. There was an incident of this lady, a school principal, who murdered her husband and came home by taxi and walking so that nobody should see her car. But they had found all the cameras along the way, which took her pictures. So same way Chitra, and caught her. So same way Chitragupta is the one taking, keeping record of all our karmas and then giving us the results. But that is in the Puranic stories. What Vedanta says, that Bhagwan in his wisdom has put a little microchip in our subtle body. Each one of us has a little microchip which we can't see, only Bhagwan can see. And that chip records all our activities. There is no somebody sitting somewhere to record. Within our subtle body, all our activities are recorded, good and bad karmas. And good and bad karmas come from that. So we don't have any external, some, you know, karma phala data. Bhagwan says, I have put my little recording device in you. And so so that's why they say, you know, God is watching everything. You can't escape because God is right here, recording, taking pictures. So that is, and why don't we see this Brahman? And why does, how does this creation happen? So they say Prakriti or Maya has two qualities, Avarana and Vikshepa. Avarana is veiling, Vikshepa is projection. So this Maya, because everything is God, Brahman, but we don't see, because Maya has the veiling effect, veils that even though everything is that consciousness, even this chair, table, everything is God, but we don't see God. We say, where is God? I don't see God. When will I see God? wise person sees God everywhere, because wise person sees God within and sees God outside. But you and I, we don't see God, so we project this variety, this changes. And that's how creation can happen. There is birds, plants, animals, fish, rocks, stones. All that happens because of the variety. Variety could not happen if there was no veiling. If there was no veiling, I would see just God everywhere, everything, then there would be no. So to give us this beautiful variety of the world, Bhagavan has done this veiling and himself hides behind that. And all of us are originated from that. And wise person, how does he work? So a karma yogi says, I am working for God. I have come from God. I am working for God. A bhakta says, God alone, my dear God, has created all of this, just as he has created me. So they are all my brothers and sisters. He sees the spontaneous love for all. While a jnani who says, I am this Atma, the consciousness, says, everything is Atma, everything is me. So all three, whether a karma yogi, bhakta, or jnani, their ultimate goal is one. Ultimate goal is Om, enlightenment, realization. It is the path may be different, path of service, path of love, path of knowledge. And so that's why they tell us there are three sattas, three levels of existence. I'll just use the text, Sanskrit words and translate. One is pratibhasit, means like a dream, like an illusion. Then vyavaharik, transactional, and absolute paramarthik. So we live in three levels. One is in the dream. When we in the dream, we dream and we create our own world. Then we wake up, then we see this transactional world that we live in. And the highest is the level of Om, the absolute, which is of course the level of God, and where realized masters live in that. So they say that how did this world come into existence? So three levels we have to always understand. One is the dream, which is the pratibhasic, then the transactional, and then the level of consciousness. And most of us work at the level of transaction of this world, but you have to wake up to that higher truth. So how did this creation come about? So Shankaracharya ji says in Dakshinamurti, Bijasyantar iva ankura idam prag nirvikalpam puna maya kalpit desha kala kalna vaichitrya chitrikritam maya viva vijrimba yat yapi maha yogi vayat svechaya tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam shri dakshinamurtaye. I bow down to Lord Shiva, who is the creator of this whole universe. How did he create? Just as in a seed, the tree is unmanifest. There is no tree. You can't see. But then when you put the seed in the ground, slowly the roots come out and then the plant and then becomes a huge tree with lots of fruits and all. The same way you and I were unmanifest and then we manifested in our mother's womb and then we came out. And how did he create the world? So like a Mayavi and Mahayogi. Mayavi means illusionist. If you have gone to Las Vegas and seen David Copperfield, with his illusion, he's able to give you an impression that a plane is landing on the stage. And he makes people believe that. So same way, Bhagwan is the Mahayogi who creates this world out of Maya. Actually, there is no world. Actually, in reality, that's what they say, the world is an illusion, but appears real, just as a dream appears real to us when we are in the dream. But when we wake up, we say, oh, thank God that, you know, tiger was not chasing me in the dream, is no longer here. Same way, this world appears to us, we are real as long as we are living in this world. It appears very real. But once you wake up to that higher reality, which these Mahatmas do, then they say this world is as real as a dream. So you and I, at this moment, we are in the Maya of this world. So we give reality to this world. And he creates this world like a Mahayogi. So there is a story of Trishanku Maharaj. He was a king who was a very good soul, but he wanted to go to heaven. He was going to go to heaven with his real body, with this body, not with the subtle body, but with this gross body. He wants to go to heaven. So he goes to Vasishtha Rishi. He says, can you send me to heaven with this body, what I am? He said, no, I'm not going. I can, but I'm not going to do it. Then he goes to Vishwamitra Rishi. Vishwamitra Rishi and Vasishtha Rishi did not get along. And he goes and tells him, Vasishtha Rishi told me he can't do that. Can you do it? So Vishwamitra said, of course I can do it. He had the ability. So he does yajna, and his body physically is being transported to heaven. He's going all the way with his yogic power. He could do that. And then the people from heaven are watching. Ye kya aa raha hai? You know, what is this coming? Who is this coming with his real body? So Indra and all the devtas say, you know, we can't allow him to come. You can only come when you are dead with this subtle body. So they push him down. So as he comes up to heaven, they push him down. So he's going back down again. Vishwamitra, are he's coming back, pushes him back up. So one is pushing up, one is pushing down. And this struggle is going on. And the devtas finally realize that they cannot compete with Vishwamitra Rishi, because he was a Brahma Rishi. They could not compete with him. So they go to him, Maharaj, dekho galti ho gayi, but sorry, we can't, in our heaven laws, he's not allowed to come. So Vishwamitra says, I understand. Okay, so then he created a Trishanku heaven. He created a separate heaven where Trishanku lives happily even now. So the point is that just as Vishwamitra Rishi could create this heaven, so of course Bhagavan creates this whole world just as like that. And whatever we see is a projection. It's like the sun. You know, the sun is in the sky. But when you look in the bucket of water, you see the projection of the sun. You see the light. And if the water is dirty, you see dirt. If the water is agitated. So same way, Bhagwan, the consciousness is somewhere else. It's everywhere, but it is at a higher level. And this world is like a projection, just as the projection of the sun in the bucket of water. So this body is the bucket and the mind and intellect is the water. So the consciousness reflecting in this mind and intellect makes the mind and intellect function. So that is the connection between the sun and the bucket, or between Bhagwan and our BMI. So mind and intellect is the water, bucket is the body, and the body functions with life from that. And how activities I do, swabhava tu pravartate. Each one of us is born with certain vasanas and certain karmas. And based on my vasanas, based on my swabhava, I function. So Bhagavan says, I don't do anything. I just give life. Of course, animals work on their swabhava. A tiger will kill a deer to eat. A cow will give milk. So birds will fly. So all of them do activities according to their swabhava. So you and I also work according to our vasanas, according to our desires. But the goal of spirituality is to wake up to the higher truth. And let us not work just at the animal level or just as my vasanas, not be a slave of my vasanas, not be a slave of my mind, but always connect with the intellect. The intellect that has the highest knowledge of the scripture. So study the scriptures, understand them in the intellect, and live that knowledge. So that's how we wake up from this dream of this world to that higher. That's why they say he's enlightened. Enlightened does not mean some light shone in him, or they have this picture of these saints with lights behind them. And then a person will come and say, you know, I have been studying Bhagavad Gita. Do you see a little light behind me? He said, no, I don't see it. He gets very disappointed. So it's not enlightened. It's not there is some light shining, but the light of knowledge. So this shloka is at the high, talks about this knowledge at the highest level, how Bhagwan works in this world. and how you and I can wake up and become one with that. That is called God realization or self realization, that knowing that God and I are one, and one alone is everywhere. So that's how, so this shloka, these two shlokas we did, take us to the highest knowledge. And if they need some amount of thinking, some amount of contemplation, because directly to get the idea sometimes takes a while. So please think about these shlokas. Read Pooja Gurudev's commentary. He has done a wonderful job. Not during the talk. Please list, read afterwards. And you can apply that in your knowledge. If, and also, of course, in there, they will be on first power. So you can watch and listen to them again tomorrow. So the next shloka, number 15, is equally complicated. I'll try my best to explain it. I hope I can. And then at the end, we will have questions if somebody has any doubts. So number 15. Nada te kasya chit papam. Na chaiva sukritam vibhu. Agnane navritam jnanam. Tena muhyanti jantavaha.
Jantavaha.
Natate kasya chit papam. Na chaiva sukritam vibhu. Agnane navritam jnanam. Tena muhyanti jantavaha. So here, Bhagavan, Krishna uses another term for the creator, Vibhu. In the last word of the first line, Vibhu. What he called Prabhu in the 14th, he calls Vibhu. Vibhu means all-pervading. Vividham bhavati, that which is all-pervading and which manifests as all this variety is called Vibhu. So there's another name for God. So he says, God, Vibhu, even though, as we said, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is God himself, but as a human, he's telling Arjuna that there is Vibhu, this creator, so total God, all-pervading. Na datte kasya chit papam. Neither does he take the papa of anybody, kasya chit papam. Na cha eva sukritam, and neither does he take responsibility for the good actions. So if somebody does bad actions, he does not take responsibility. Somebody does, how about good actions, Bhagwan? Even good actions, I have nothing to do with it. Na chaiva sukritam vibhuhu. He says, but then why are we not able to see you? If you say Vibhu means everywhere, everything, this glass, this phone, this mic, everything is God. Why are we not able to see God? Agnyanena avritam jnanam. Knowledge is covered by ignorance. Because of ignorance, our knowledge is covered. Just as I say, don't know Spanish. So my ignorance of Spanish is covered. My knowledge is covered by ignorance. But then when I go to a teacher and study Spanish and start speaking Spanish, then that ignorance has been removed, the veil of ignorance. So same way, why we are not able to see God everywhere? Because our knowledge is covered by ignorance. Ena muhyanti jantavaha. And that's why Bhagavan is calling us jantus. Jantus does not mean animals or does not mean bacteria. What it means, beings. The living beings are called jantava, jantu, which is a regular correct expression. He said that's why everybody is deluded. So again, we say Gita is full of contradictions, you know, and people write books. Gita, how many contradictions are there? One place Bhagavan says, I take no responsibility for good and bad actions. And then another place he says, I reward the people who are good, and then the ones who are evil, I punish. He says, wait a minute, one chapter you say this, one chapter. Bhagwan says it depends on the context, depends on, also depends on the level of the student, of the person listening. That's why the Upanishads are not directly taught to students. You know, when they directly go to a teacher, he doesn't say, okay, read Mandukya. You know, Mandukya is taught last. And first they start with Tattva Bodh, Atma Bodh, Bhaj Govindam. You know, start with simple texts. And then gradually you grow higher, evolve. So same way, the level, it's like a child when you are explaining rain, you know, little 2 or 3 or 4 year old. You tell him, oh, sun is there and the water cloud condenses, and then the cloud is formed, and then when it gets cooled, by the time the child will fall asleep. So, child, you tell him, look, there is an elephant in the sky, and when there is rain, you know, from his trunk, he throws out water. Child is happy. Okay. So you cannot tell him, you know, or from where, how is the child born? You know, you can't tell a child, a little 5, 6 year old, what happened when father and mother. No. You tell him, look, you know, when you were ready to come, God brought you here, put you in mother's tummy, and so you have to explain to him. So same way, Bhagwan explains to the student based on their level. And the law is eternal. See, this karma phala law is eternal. And as we said, based on my swabhava, based on my actions, as long as I think this world is real, then I will suffer the good and the problems and enjoy the good things. So good and bad actions I will suffer. So the law is for everybody, law of karma. Bhagwan says I even cannot change it. So when I do good karmas, I'll get good result. When I do bad karmas, I'll get bad result, but only at the level of the world. Once a Mahatma is at the level of consciousness, then there are no good and bad karmas. He or she has gone beyond. And some people say, well, I did not know about this law of karma. You know, I have not studied Bhagavad Gita, then why am I being punished? They said, no, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Oh, I didn't know that I was. No, when you do something, it's like you're speeding and the cop stops you in a 35 zone, you're driving 55, and you say, oh, officer, I didn't see the sign. I missed the sign. He said, I don't care whether the sign was there. If you saw it or didn't see it, if you're doing wrong, you get your ticket and you go to pay your fine. So similarly, the law of karma applies to all of us, whether we know it or we don't know it. So ignorance of the law is not an excuse. So saying that I had not studied Bhagavad Gita, so I did not know that there is karma and karma phala and all that, you know, because the whole karma yoga and all that. So what is the idea is that I have to evolve from ignorance to wisdom. And Gurudev in his commentary has spoken very beautifully about a prism, which, you know, I won't go into detail. You can read it afterwards. But he says sunlight going through a plain glass comes out plain, the same. But going through a prism, it comes out in 7 colors. So same way, in a wise person, God is shining just like that, uncontaminated, the same. But in you and I, because we are under the influence of our vasanas, our maya, so we see this variety of good and bad happening. So that is how you see all this variety, because people are not at that enlightened level. And the purpose of life is to evolve from jiva to ishvara. The journey of the God, human is from jiva to ishvara, becoming one with that. Ishvara does not mean I can create the world, but understanding that I and Ishvara are one. And how does that happen? So Bhagwan says in the 12th chapter, I help them. How? तेषामहं समुद्धर्ता मृत्यु संसार सागरात् भवामि नचिरात् पार्थ मैया वेशित चेतसाम. सो दोज हु पुट देयर माइंड इन मी कॉन्स्टेंटली एंड थिंक अबाउट मी एंड वर्क फॉर मी बिकम माई 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 इंस्ट्रूमेंट्स देन आई लिफ्ट देम फ्रॉम दिस this world of ignorance. Samudharta, I become, I lift them from this ocean of samsara to this shore of my being. Vrityu samsara, from this world of death, I lift them to the world of immortality. They become one with me. Nachirat, without delay, I can do that. So Bhagavan says, surrender to me, and then it is my responsibility to take care of you. And in 10th chapter, he says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. He says, those who surrender their actions to me, work for me, then I give them buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means the right knowledge, where they then know what to work. And that's what, when Arjuna surrendered to Bhagavan Sri Krishna and says, Shishyastehaṁ Shadhi mam tvam prapanna, I am your devotee, I am surrendered to you, please teach me. So then Bhagavan gives him the whole 700 verses out of his compassion. So that's why he says, Tesham anukampartham aham dadami buddhi yogam. Out of compassion I give them. So this, the fact that we have this Bhagavad Gita, we have met Puja Gurudev, may not directly but through his books and teachings, it is Bhagavan's grace and compassion. We are so blessed, so fortunate. So we have to always be grateful to Bhagavan and to the Guru, because of whose grace and blessings we have this wonderful knowledge of this entire Upanishads have been summarized so beautifully by Bhagavan. That's why they say, Sarvo Upanishado Gavo Dokta Gopala Nandana. Bhagavan is the cowherd who milks all the Upanishads, takes the essence, and has simplified that for us to study in the Bhagavad Gita. So we have to be thankful for this knowledge. And I always have to remember that this is not my home. You know, we say, ye kahan hai desh jahan se hum aaye? You know, people say, where is that place from where I have come? And come means not physically come, but from where have I originated? So our true home is Om, consciousness. That is our true home. That is what we need to want, need to desire, need to go back. But we get so attached to worldly things. This is my house, my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, that we don't want to leave and find these people. They are so attached. They will do anything to keep it, anything to earn more, anything to, and their whole life is just spent in acquiring, possessing, cheating others, getting. They forget that ultimately one day they have to go back to Bhagwan and explain, you know, all my karmas. In Christianity, they call it the Day of Judgment. But again, where of course there is God who is sitting somewhere and judging, but here Bhagwan again says, I don't judge. It is your own karmas that produce their own result. Automatically, he has put in this whole system where the karma itself gives a good or bad result. He said, I don't need to get involved. I don't need to. He has created the law, and then he says, okay, let it function. So where everything works according to that, if, you know, if you touch electricity, you get shocked right away. If you put a mango tree, the tree comes after 10 years. So the results may come based on the situation, but Bhagwan says, I do nothing. I am beyond all that, and that we have to understand. And I always have to remain with that understanding that I am not the jiva. I am not this limited being. My true nature is I am Atma, consciousness, and act like that. So if I say I am divine, Bhagwan is in me, then I have to show divinity in my actions. I have to show divinity in my behavior. I have to show divinity in my knowledge, in my understanding. So act like that. And that's how the wise people do. The wise people, their mind is always connected with God. And karmas, they're no longer effective. Their past karmas are burnt, and an enlightened master, his future karmas are burnt. And even the prarabdha karma, whatever are left in this lifetime, whatever destiny, the person lives them, but again is not unaffected, just as he has woken up to the higher truth. And then whatever happens to the body, mind, and intellect is not happening to me. So I have to all the time understand, am I that limited jiva or am I that atma? So these three shlokas shift our attention from this world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, and all the time shift our attention to Om, Lord or consciousness. So for that, A, I have to have the right knowledge. I have to understand it. And then I have to apply it. And then I have to have a change in my behavior. Bhagavad Gita should result in transformation. Otherwise, study of Bhagavad Gita is a waste. So that's why Bhagavan says that even at the end of the 18th chapter, he tells Arjuna that, have you understood this knowledge? And has this changed your thinking? You know, and so Arjuna says, yes, you know, I will do whatever you have said. Yad, yad eshati tat kuru. He says, Bhagavan says, you do what you want. And he says, karishye vachanam tava. Arjuna has completely understood and says, I will do what you say, Bhagavan. So same way, you and I have to tell Bhagavan, yes, you have given us Bhagavad Gita. You sent Puja Gurudev to us. Now I will do what you say. Then only this teaching is useful. So I will end here. These shlokas did need explanation. I hope I was able to convey that. If there's any doubts or questions, please feel free to ask, or if anybody has any comments, please do that. I'll go to the gallery view, get everybody on Zoom, and then we have people here also in the mission. So anybody has any questions or comments? Kerry, you are unmuted. Go ahead.
I'm not sure this is exactly on the these shlokas, but I was wondering what the difference is between like a jiva, like us, and an avatar that comes, you know, is talking about, you know, with these precepts and these shlokas.
So are you talking about avatar or you're talking about the enlightened master?
Well, kind of both. Like, okay, so you're an enlightened master. How does that differ from the avatar?
The avatar, ava means below, tara means one whose God himself has appeared in a human form. So like Bhagavan Sri Krishna, from childhood, he knew he was God. And even when he was an infant, when demons were sent, he could destroy them. And as a child, when his mother asks him to open your mouth, he opens his mouth and shows her the entire universe in his mouth, including Yashoda and Krishna are both in that mouth, you know, in his mouth. So he's showing it. So he knew, and then he immediately made her forget because he didn't want Yashoda to worship him. He wanted a mother's love. So he knew that is called avatar, like Bhagwan Sri Ram. He knew that he was God when he manifested. But enlightened master is one who is born as a human, maybe highly evolved human from previous birth. He has done good karmas. And then in this life, evolves to that state of enlightenment. So that is the difference between avatara, who is the God himself manifesting. This is a human evolving. And then you and I are like seekers who are on the path towards enlightenment. At least we should be if we are studying Bhagavad Gita. So that is the difference between a seeker, an enlightened master, and avatar. Is that clear? Is that answer your question?
I think so. So the avatar has no karma, has none of that. No vasas, nothing. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Anybody here in the audience? Anybody else on Zoom? Can you unmute? I thought there would be a lot of questions. I guess either you understood everything or understood nothing. I'm not sure which one. Only two people have no questions. So,
Anil, thank you so much. She's been in and out, but listening. I appreciate what you do. Just want to let you know that I had turned it on and put it right next to her bed.
good, good.
But she's just in and out of, but she's doing better. Okay.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we wish Umaji all the best, and all of us should pray for her. She's not well, and she's on palliative care. So let us just, in our prayers, keep her in mind, because they are regular, they participate in all our classes. So everybody can please pray for Umaji, Uma Manchanda. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Anil.
Hariyo. Okay, we'll end here. There's no comments. Kusum, you have. Kusum, go ahead. If you have comments, you can. We have time. You can come and talk on the mic so they can hear you. आ जाओ इधर कोई बात नहीं
Because these are very
या वी
difficult.
या वी हैव टाइम सो वी कैन स्पेंड 5 5 मिनट्स
These are difficult, so I read it twice and
या
I
या
took
या
some notes.
नो प्रॉब्लम
The first one was the
स्पीक इन द माइक या
first one was like how the self-realized thinks that he lives in this body. So I read Guruji's commentaries also, and he said it's like an officer working in the office. He doesn't think that he is the office himself or the equipments, but we think we are this body, which is like an office, and we think this is the body, and I'm this mind. And the self-realized doesn't think he is this body, but he lives at the body. He lives in the body. I mean, self-realized, he doesn't think he thinks that this body is in me. I do not live in it, but it's in me everything. But we think the other way, that his body is mine and I'm this. So that's one thing he said, that how the officer doesn't think that this office is me, but we think that this body is me. So like the similarity he's talking. And also second thing he said about the how the sun reflects in the pot of water, in the bucket of water, and that reflection is there in the water. The self-realized knows that he's the sun, but we, for us, we think that I am the bucket with the water, which is the mind, and the reflection which is there, that is our ego, which represents, we think that is me, that is the little I. But the self-realized already knows that is the sun, it's not any of this. So that's number two. And in the second sloka, where he says that God doesn't do any actions or anything at all, and Gurudev's comment in that, it says it's a very nice sentence he's using. It's a contactless contact. Means God is present in us so that all these BMI can function. But if the consciousness was not present in us, then none of this will function. So even though consciousness is needed, though it doesn't do anything, because with Maya, everything is functioning. So it's like contactless contact. I thought it was such a beautiful
Yes.
sentence that Gurudev had used. And the third one that we talked about, the prism. So we read about it from the Mandukya Upanishad. It's verse number 6. In that, it says also that consciousness in us, through us, is projected. We project through mind and intellect. And that's why, because ignorance and mind and intellect is compared as a prism. So if our mind and intellect is not have any knowledge, and we are ignorant of our own self, then that consciousness light will cross through that mind and intellect, which is a prism, and it will show the plurality. But the realized master has already purified his mind, and he doesn't think he's the mind or intellect, and he has the full knowledge. So that consciousness is reflecting just like how the sun goes through the glass and it comes out as the light. So in that case, he is just the light all over. But in our case, our mind and intellect works as a prism, so we see the duality, and that's what we don't see. So he says that transcend the mind and intellect by meditation, all the sadhanas, and then you'll realize that, and it will be just the same consciousness, and then you won't see any plurality. Because in fact, the whatever we see, the plurality is actually not present. It's just a superimposition. So I thought this was very nice.
Thank
and
you.
If you want to read the Mandukya Upanishad, it's at least in my book, is page 46 and verse number 6. And it has like 4 pages of this explanation. I just wrote down the little thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So in the next few weeks, we're talking about the man of wisdom, how the wise person works. Next several shlokas are very good guides for us how to live in this world and different aspects of this wise person are given by Bhagwan in the next 5, 6, 7 shlokas, all the way from 16 up to 21, 22, Bhagwan tells us how to live this life and how to deal with life situations, problems. Very, very useful mantras, shlokas. So we'll end here. Kerry, you have another question? Go ahead.
Well, it was real quick, but I was thinking, are all these things that go through us, we're the Atma. Our upadis, you know, whether they be from the body, the mind, intellect, they're just upadis that transform, you know, what we see ourselves as.
No, body doesn't transform. The mind and intellect changes. The understanding changes.
Is like the body, the pranayama and the body, I mean, they just change how we, you know, like we see ourselves. So we're tall, we're fat, we're brown, we're you know, white, we're whatever.
But that's all mental. See, the body will
okay.
go, it changes, you know, body will get older, hair will get gray, all those things will happen. But mentally, the evolution and the devolution happens at the level of the mind. Person can be, 16-year-old and be enlightened, and person can be 60-year-old and maybe ignorant. So the body will keep changing, but it's the mind and intellect that evolves, I think, in the
knowledge. The colors that go through the prism, you know, the colors that come out of the prism of the mind, those are upadis, right?
Those of the mind and that's of the mind and intellect.
Okay. Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Ve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhavave, Om Asatoma Satgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Rityorma Amritam Gamaya, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Hari Om. Thank you so much. Hari Om.